Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us tonight on episode 10, season 3, The Standoff with Brad and Richie here on New Zealand Sport Radio. We're here live every Wednesday on Facebook throughout the season. Evening, Richie. It was an ugly Warriors win, but other than that, what did you think of the rest of the round?
Hey, Brad, evening. I thought it was an entertaining round, mate, and yeah, it doesn't matter how ugly, as long as the result is the right one, everything's a bit sweeter for the whole week after. So, yep, sitting pretty.
Yeah, it makes going to work on Monday a little bit sweeter, that's for sure.
I'm sure.
While we're here live on Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m, you can also catch our show at your convenience on iHeartRadio. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. As always, we're going to be covering everything you need to know on the week that was rugby league, including our top stories of the week, a review of round 8, and our picks. We'll then stop and answer some questions from you guys, as well as some questions we have set aside for ourselves. We'll then preview round 9 and make our tips before ending the night, hopefully time pending, with a recap of the Super League. So remember to send us comments and questions throughout the show, and we'll do our best to answer them for you. And we may as well just jump straight into top stories, Richie.
Let's do that.
All right. First one's it's a new one. I've just put it on. It's still not fluid. We've already spoken about it a little bit today, but there's news that Cody Nikurima is apparently signed with the Rabbitohs. Seems to be the noise coming out is that it's effective immediately. There's been no official word from either Cody or the Warriors, but from one of the reporters in Australia said he's already had a medical with the Rabbitohs, which seems to think that it is an official thing. But we will we'll get more of that as the time comes, I believe. But there is potential that he could be playing against the Warriors next week at Magic Round, Richie. What's your take on all this rumour?
Oh, look, I think we've all sort of had in the back of our head that Cody was probably going to be on the outer, and he hasn't had the opportunities this year that he's had in the last couple of years. So with more signings coming, Metcalf, Volkman, those kind of guys, I think, and already having Dejan Arce, I think the opportunities for Cody to have a lot of game time here is, yeah, he's probably going to find it hard. So moving to the Rabbitohs, where they're looking at replacing Adam Reynolds and having another playmaker there, I think it'll be a decent fit for him.
Yeah, it's interesting for the Rabbitohs to go from Adam Reynolds to Cody Nikurima, but I feel like he's going to end up playing the number 14 role there, which is the role he didn't want at the Warriors. So it's interesting, but hope he does well. As you said, we already knew he was leaving at the end of the year. If it's leaving early, it does make right now, it makes the halves depth a little bit slim. Touch wood, someone gets hurt this week while Chanel's out. But yeah, I think it's probably a good move for both sides. because I'm generally quite harsh on Cody when he's playing. So
you it will,
give me something. And yes, Paul's just mentioned leaving early saves the Warriors some cash as well.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, it's a win for them there. And I saw you also mentioned about the origins of the show. We're going to wait till the middle segment of the show for that, Paul, so you get your time in the daylight to have a bit of a chat. Next bit of news, going away from the NRL kind of, international footy, we talked about a few weeks ago, that the Kiwis and Tonga are playing on the 25th of June. It's also been announced that the Kiwi Ferns will play Tonga in a doubleheader on that day. But also on the very same day, Samoa will face the Cook Islands and Fiji will face Papua New Guinea in a doubleheader at Campbelltown Stadium. So what's your take on it, Rich? It's good to see some international footy coming back. It's almost like they've just remembered a World Cup's happening at the end of the year.
Mm. Yeah, fantastic. You and I have already spoken plenty about it in the past. You know, we love Test footy and having international footy, and there's not nearly enough of it, especially over the past couple of seasons. So, yeah, I can't wait. The Kiwis versus Tonga will be a cracking game, and I'm sure they'll pull a good crowd. But even Samoa versus Cook Islands, Fiji, Papua New Guinea, all these nations always bring a lot of passion and flair to the game. So they're always enjoyable ones to watch. So, yeah, I look forward to it.
Yeah, and I think it's a good move that they're finally going to use that international window that they had set up where they refused to play internationals, that they're actually going to use it for its purpose while Australia, you know, focus on that other little game.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think it's a good move. Kind of gives everyone invested and interested in the week. But continuing a little bit on the Samoa train, they've made some additions to their coaching staff. I know we spoke at length about the Johns brothers wanting to get involved. That hasn't happened here, but coach Matt Parrish and assistant coach Jeff Tooby have now been joined by Panthers assistant coach Andrew Webster, former Leeds mentor Richard Agar, and former captain Frank Pritchard for the upcoming Pacific Test as well as the World Cup in England. What's your take on all of that? I know there's some big raps on Andrew Webster and how he's developing with Ivan Cleary at the Panthers. And I think Frank Pritchard coming in as like a mentor will be really good for those Samoan boys.
Yeah, there's some good cattle there coming in. Hopefully they can all add a bit of value to Samoa and Samoa can prosper heading into the World Cup. So we'll see how it goes for them. But yeah, it can only be a good thing. If it's not the Johns brothers, at least we've got some other good names there.
Yeah. Now, see, Simon's reminding us that there has been a lot of internationals for lower-tier teams the last couple of years. I'm just a one-eyed supporter, Simon. If it's not the Kiwis, I generally don't get to pay attention to it as much as I probably should. We haven't even discussed what's going to happen with the show when it comes to World Cup time. That's a conversation with Paul, but I'm sure we'll be very busy as well. But we'll get into some Warriors news again. Ronald Volkman is officially signed. We talked about it last week that it was basically confirmed. Nathan Brown confirmed it in the press conference after the match without an official release coming out yet. But he's signed a three-year deal with the Warriors from 2023. It's every day during the league. We'll talk about it, Paul. Yeah. We talked about it quite a bit at length last week anyway. It looks like a good signing. There's been a lot more videos and stuff coming out of his highlights. He looks a good little player. Do you have anything more you wanted to add from what we said last week?
No, not really. I mean, it's good to have a young prospect. Look what we did. Look what's happened with Walsh. We brought him over as a sort of up-and-comer that was, you know, hadn't really played first grade yet. So hopefully a similar thing happens in this situation. And if he gets opportunity, he turns out to be a good one.
Yeah, and with Sean Johnson there to lean on and help guide him through, should get him started in the right pact, fingers crossed. But you mentioned Walsh, so we may as well go straight into the next bit of news. Reece Walsh has come out and confirmed his commitment with the Warriors and saying that he will be in New Zealand next season. As we've been talking at length, everyone, I think it was at the end of the show, we had already logged off last week. Paul Kent had just mentioned on NRL 360 that in the next couple of weeks, Walsh should be announced as a signing in Brisbane. He didn't specify if it was the Broncos or the Dolphins, which kind of got everyone a bit abuzzed. So it's good to see he's actually come out. He's already said it. I think I mentioned it on Facebook or something, that he was on a podcast like a month ago and said that he wasn't going anywhere and that it's all just the media making up stories. But it's good to see him actually come out with an official statement. And yeah, it's like Paul's just said there, it's media rubbish to get clicks and eyeballs. It's get people talking. And yeah, it's I don't like it. We did speak about it when we were talking about Paul Kent basically telling him to break his contract. Alex McKinnon was one today who said he spoke to Reece Walsh's manager and said that they're crazy for staying with the Warriors. But it's about character, I guess. You're young. If you break your contract, it's a bad look. In terms of future signings elsewhere, like if you sign with the Dolphins, what's to say you don't break that contract? Not saying that he was going to. He was always pretty clear that he was sticking with his contract. The only thing the Warriors have to do is make the place a desirable place for him to want to stay beyond his contract so they can extend him. So that will be the key, making sure, like, I like the young players they're bringing in, then they could build a spine with Volkman, with Walsh, with Metcalf and all the like. So there's enough stuff there. Adam Fanua Blake's extended his time too. So he's got a big forward to do some hard work for him up the front. You just, as much as you don't want to make it a one team, a one player team, you got to make it pretty for those superstars to want to stay. I think Newcastle has given all of Newcastle to Ponga to stay there right now. So, yeah, good news. It's at least should stop the media making these reports for at least a week. So, yeah, what are your thoughts on him making his desire to stay known publicly?
Yeah, I liked it. He kind of alluded to it when he came out and spoke about it, that, you know, a lot of these rumors, his teammates started asking him questions about it. So, I'm glad he's come forward and you know, said he's going to stay on next year and set it up front, because you don't want it becoming a distraction for the team.
Yeah, and I see we've got Simon, Sonny and Mark here. All welcome, everyone. Yeah, we've already talked about the Cody Nikorima part at the start. Sorry, Sonny. So, yeah, he's apparently going to the Bunnies. That was all I really had for the news, so we'll... Unfortunately, we've still got an injury ward and Naughty Boy Corner segment. So we'll go straight into the injury ward, starting with Ash Taylor. He's had to medically retire at the age of 27 due to a lingering hip injury that he re-aggravated in his first game for the Warriors against the Titans. Listening to an interview with him, he basically said he was at the playground with his kids the day after the game and he couldn't really play with them or anything, and that's when he knew it was wrong. He went and saw multiple doctors and they all basically told him the same thing, which was even getting surgery, it wasn't going to let him perform as a professional athlete. Tough news for him at such a young age. I was really hoping his start with the Warriors was going to give him a chance to redeem himself after being criticized so heavily towards the end of his run with the Titans. Well, what's your take on Taylor having to call it a day?
I feel for him, because 27, he's still a baby, really. He's still very young. But, you know, he had a few years in his career and made some good money out of the Titans. So at the end of the day, health comes first and you know, enjoying time with your family. So sometimes you just got to make those decisions for your own health and future. So all the best to him.
Yeah, it sounds like he's just finished a degree in early childhood teaching and he's looking at becoming a teacher's aide in Toowoomba and looking at starting to coach lower grades and seeing if coaching is something he's interested in. So, yeah, wish him nothing but the best and hopefully everything works out for him. We'll keep the Warriors train a little bit. going on with Chanel Harris-Tavita. He ruptured a testicle in the first half against the Storm, and he's had surgery on it, and they said he'll be out for 3 to 4 weeks. The Warriors put a picture of him back at training with a cricket ball and a rugby ball. But it's we talked about it quite a bit last week. I didn't have a Warrior to highlight in the Warriors Storm game. Had I known what happened to him in the first half, I probably would have given it to him for the fact that he played on, and he was one of the players that I couldn't really say wasn't giving it 100%. So horrible, horrible injury, and it was given to him by Josh Curran for people in a shock accident. But what's your take first on the injury, and then his ability to play on?
Oh, yeah, look, we know about Chanel for his size, very, very tough defensive player, very ballsy player, if you will. Yeah, the fact that happened and he played on was absolutely nuts.
You're hitting us with all the puns there. Well done. continuing with the injury train, Manly are set to lose Brad Parker. He got a partial ACL tear, and Jacob Saab, who had a toe ligament injury, but they've said both of them are going to be at least 3 weeks out. Big losses for my mighty Manly. What's your take on that?
Yeah, you're right, Brad. You know, a couple of the real staples of the Manly backline. Yeah, it'll hurt them, but hopefully for you, for your sake, your second team, not too badly.
Yeah, fingers crossed. And yeah, Mark said his ability to play on was insane. Yeah. I can't even begin to imagine it. And our last injury, there were a few little ones, but I've tried to go for the ones that I think have the biggest impact. David Fifita is going to be out for at least a month after suffering a grade 2 MCL strain. Massive loss for the Titans. I know we've been very critical of Fifita on this show, but there's no denying that even if he only turns up for 20 minutes, he's deadly in that 20 minutes. So how do you think the Titans are going to go without him for the next month?
Yeah, they're going to miss those couple bursts of game, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's not the player that dominates the ball the whole game, but he does offer them a lot, you know, in certain moments of games where he could just come out of nowhere and bust 5 or 6 tackles and score an important try. So in that sense, yeah, the Titans will miss him.
Yeah, and Mark, I forgot to mention him, so Mark's helped us out here and done our job for us. Payne Haas is also out, which is a massive blow for the Broncos. He's been injured the last 2 weeks and done his best, give him full credit for that. But yeah, massive loss. I'm going to have to remember that. I think he's in my fantasy team, so I might have to go make some changes after the show tonight. So that was all the injuries. Now into the part that I love the most, which is Naughty Boy Corner, which is coming up right in time for Sonny's comments about Carl Lawton. But Carl Lawton has been given 4 weeks for a spear tackle. I was going to cover it a bit more in the actual game, but since Sonny's brought it up now, I feel like I might get in trouble. So I'll let you go first. What is your take on Gus and Freddie playing down Lawton's tip tackle and the red card?
I feel like for a lot of those old school league heads like Gus and Freddie
and Brad
back in their day, it was a tackle like that was probably applauded. But nowadays with anything near the head or dangerous, putting someone in a dangerous position where they might hurt their head and neck, that's got to be a send-off. It has to be, because he has tipped them. He has been in danger of hitting his head on the ground, and if the NRL are going to take head contact and things of that like seriously, then it has to be a send-off. Now, disagree with me, Brad. Go on.
Yeah, you're soft, mate. You're soft. Watching it live, I've learned from the error of my ways after being told off by many people in my chats that I had when it was happening. I thought it was a sin bin. I thought red card was a bit too much, but that's that old school thinking, like you said, in the new age. But it also makes an interesting proposition for what Mark's just mentioned it, but the next player I'm about to talk about. So yeah, I will set red card. I thought yellow might have been more than enough, but yeah, I'll live with it. But Jack Whiten has got a 2-week ban for a spear tackle on Reece Walsh. He didn't get a yellow, he didn't get a red or anything. I've heard the argument, the difference between the two was the fact that there was someone else in the tackle, but it's still the same tackle, in my opinion. So I thought if Lawton gets punished, why didn't Whiten get punished? Mm. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I agree. I think the severity of it probably wasn't quite as forceful as Lawton's tackle. So I think maybe, in my opinion, Whiten's one should have been a 10-minute sit-down.
Yeah.
That was my initial feelings on that one. Looking at the Lawton one, I thought red straight away, but the Whiten one, I think, wasn't quite as bad, but he should have at least had a 10-minute sit-down. But I guess the only difference was the team that Whiten was playing against.
Yeah. But, yeah, I would sit there. I'd say, yeah, red for Lawton, yellow for Whiten is how it should have been.
Yeah.
Losing Whiten for 2 weeks is going to be massive for the Raiders. And Sonny's just mentioned about NRL 360 exposed Gus and Freddie, because there was a spear tackle done on Freddie Fittler back in the day, and they both came out and were against it, saying they need to get this out of the game. Yeah. When it happened to Freddie, and now that Freddie's watching, it's a bit different. So yeah, it's always a bit fun there. The last person that got a ban, I'm going to butcher his name, and I apologize. Billy Tsirikas, he's from the Bulldogs. You've got it there. Do you know how to say that name?
Tsirikas?
Tsirikas? We'll go with that. I apologize a lot, Billy. There's a lot of letters that don't seem to look like they should go together there. Terribly sorry, and I apologize. But he's got a 1-week ban for a dangerous contact. Interesting fact. So Mark said it is pronounced Tsirikas. I've probably even butchered that. See, I'm a writer, not a speaker.
Yeah.
But yeah, interesting fact with Billy here is he could have escaped with a fine, but since he's not in the Bulldogs top 30, he's not subjected to a monetary penalty, which is it's just like twisting the knife even further for the Bulldogs, where they had to use guys outside of their 30, then they get punished more because of it. He should have put him
Tsirikas. Yeah.
Here we go.
Tsirikas.
Tsirikas. Okay, cool. Thank you for clearing that up, Mark. Tough for them there. But now we get into the money, all the money fines. We've got a couple. Matt Lodge has been fined $1,000 for leading with his elbow. Josh Mansour got $750 for contrary conduct. Tavita Totola got $1,000 fine for dangerous contact. And Jack Johns got $1,000 fine for dangerous contact. Was there anything you wanted to talk about those? I will take my being soft thing off. I think Matt Lodge was very lucky with his leading elbow. I thought, especially with it being Lodge, I thought he would have been sent to the bin. So I think he's very lucky that he's only got a fine here, because as soon as it happened, I thought we were going to see him off for a month or something. Mm. And yeah, Mark said, and then Nelson doesn't get penalties for leading with elbows. Yeah, it depends on who you play for, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, exactly right. Same can be said for Jared Wadia-Hargraves. He, when it comes to Asofa Solomona and Wadia-Hargraves, they call it running with the bumper bars.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, it didn't look pretty. But yeah, no one was hurt, so we'll move on. So we may as well jump straight into reviewing the games, Richie. So I will hand the floor to you and let you do your thing.
No worries. So the first game of the round, the Broncos upsetting the Sharks 16-7 at Suncorp Stadium. 3-1 for the Broncos, Katoni Staggs, Herbie Farnworth, and Kurt Capewell. Good to see I got Herbie's name correct this time around. And only one try for the Sharks, Matt Moylan, in the 19th minute. So not much doing in the first half, Brad. It was 7-6 at halftime, and both teams looking like they're struggling for a bit of cohesion. But I thought the second half, the Broncos owned that second half. In particular, their centre pairing was really good. Katoni and Herbie played really well.
I thought it was an impressive outing for the Broncos here. It was all about the defense. They managed to keep Talakai quiet. They effectively did what the couch coaches in my house were doing when we watched Sharks game, saying this is how you stop Talakai. I live with South Africans, as you know, Richie, but
yes,
the audience doesn't. And they love to remind me of all the times South Africa were able to stop John Olomu. Going to Union Talk here, and he said basically the same thing. Give him no time, no space, and throw numbers at him, and he can't do anything. And that's exactly what the Broncos did here. Katoni Staggs was always right up in his grill as soon as he was there. He had one little brief moment, but Katoni was able to hold him up over the line. And I think, yeah, in terms of the battle between Staggs and Talakai, I think Staggs went away with an easy victory there. In terms of the rest of the Broncos, though, I thought Adam Reynolds directed the team well. He had to go off for an HIA, and while he was off, the Broncos didn't lose their shape. I think largely in part to Tamara Martin, who stepped up in his absence. Wasn't a lot of scoring, but I think the three tries that the Broncos scored were well executed. And then the Sharks, they managed one try, and it was off a bit of individual brilliance from Matt Moylan. But yeah, not a perfect performance by Brisbane, but I think it's a step in the right direction for them and their fans. Winning against the top four sides, nothing to sneeze at. And I think the Sharks will be very disappointed. I think they made too many errors, which will be an ongoing theme in this round. And they seem to just struggle against the Broncos defense. I think Nicho Hynes, he's still learning his role. He's doing a hell of a job. But I think a more experienced half may have started to put kicks behind the rushing defense to either catch them off guard or unsettle their structure, so they're not always wanting to rush forward. It's things you learn. Again, thanks, Paul. It's a prop trying to tell a halfback how to do his job. But yeah, unfortunately, I think we might see a bit of a bounce back from the Sharks this week, Richie, which isn't good for us.
I was just going to say, Brad, again, you're loving your playmaking talk this year, right?
Yes.
I love it. I just hope that the Warriors took notes on how to contain Talakai and implement a bit of that this weekend. So moving on to the Friday game, we had the Titans against the Panthers getting up 18-4. Three tries to one for the Panthers: Isaac Tago, Nathan Cleary, Jerome Luai, and one try for the Titans: Greg Marzu. 4-0 to the Titans at halftime, Brad. I think the Titans gave the Panthers a pretty decent scare in the first half, and the Panthers had to dig deep to get this one. I was thinking cricket score before the game.
Yeah, I was too. And another error-filled night. Both teams made 11 errors each. Titans, yeah, I thought they had the edge in that first half, scoring the only try. Panthers did go across over the line with Dylan Edwards, but it got taken away. I thought there was a massive effort from Big Tino for the Titans. He's been outstanding for them basically since he signed. I'm not sure if the Titans switched off at halftime or if the Panthers just woke up, but they just let the Panthers back into the match in that second half, and then the Panthers do what the Panthers do. Panthers, though, they did make a few uncharacteristic errors and silly choices on attack, which I'm not used to seeing from them. But yeah, I'm sure those are errors that they won't make again. I think Isaac Tago, there was a few times where he decided to go it alone. If he had looked for the outside man, I think they might have added some more points to the tally. But yeah, second half, Nathan Cleary just took control and the rest is history. Scored a nice try, set up a nice one for Luai. I still think the Panthers are at another level, but if they bring that first half effort type of performance to Magic Round next week against the Storm, they may get their first defeat, but I'm sure the Eels are going to look at trying to get that scalp first.
Yeah, the Panthers, I think, they just looked 5-10% off, much like the Sharks. You don't have to be too far off in the NRL, and it levels the playing field. Just 51 missed tackles for the Panthers too, along with the you touched on the 11 errors. It's those aren't Panthers like stats. So they'll have a stiffer test this week, and we'll see how they'll bounce back. The next game was the Rabbitohs getting up 40-22 over Manly's mistress team, the Manly Seagulls. 7-4 for the Rabbitohs. Keon Kalomatangi, Alex Johnston, Isaiah Tass, Tom Burgess, Cody Walker, Cam Murray, and Blake Taff with the tries. For Manly, Kieran Foran, Jason Saab, Christian Tuipulotu, and Daly Cherry-Evans getting the tries. But this game swung pretty heavily early on with the send-off, obviously, in the 8th minute. But I actually thought Manly fought pretty well in this one, Brad, for the large portion of the match. And they were pretty brave having to send off that early. It could have been a bit worse. What do you think?
Yeah, we obviously picked the Rabbitohs to win this before the game started. But as soon as that red card happened, I put the cue in the rack, it's over. But to the Seagulls' credit, I think they showed a lot more fight than I anticipated with a man down for essentially the whole game. 72 minutes with 12 men. They kept in the hunt, but eventually the Rabbitohs just overtook them. For Manly, before I move on, I think Josh Schuster had a pretty okay return. He forced a few passes he probably shouldn't have. He still looks a bit unfit, but he's essentially had no preseason. And this is the first game back, so match fitness will slowly come back. And I think he'll add another dimension to their attack, which is always good for my mighty Manly. I think they didn't look that bad overall. I just think the numbers game got to them in the end. The Rabbitohs love making errors. They made 17, which is far too much for a team that's aiming for a top four spot. But they just kept plugging away in this game. They knew they had the advantage, and they started to pull away. They scored some nice tries in that second half. But you can still see they're figuring out how to play without Latrell Mitchell. I do like what I see from Blake Taff. And I think he needs to be in this side when Mitchell returns. I just don't know where you put him. I've heard some people say you put Latrell back at centre and leave Taff at fullback. I'm not sure. I'm not going to offer an opinion because I don't have one. I think Rabbitohs will be happy with the win, but they just need to show the ball more respect, as I think they might have lost to Manly here if they had the 13 men.
Yeah, could quite well have. I kind of agree. I like the look of Taff, and I think he looks every bit of first grader, and maybe you could move Latrell to centre to accommodate, but I think it would have to be a roaming centre, kind of like what we saw in State of Origin, where him and Tommy Trbojevic played centre but would get involved and go on field and get lots of touches still. Maybe that could be the way, but yeah, we move on. Warriors versus the Raiders. The Warriors getting up 21-20 in Golden Point over the Raiders, our second Golden Point win this year. 3 tries each for the Warriors: Adam Pompey, Viliami Valea, and Ewan Aitken. For the Raiders: Matthew Tomoko, Hudson Young, and Jack Whiten. The only difference in the score being Sean Johnson's Golden Point field goal. Ugly game, Brad. I mean, very hard to watch. The Warriors made 18 errors and only completed 25 of 43 sets. Quite how we managed to scrape a victory with those numbers, I'm not sure, but I guess maybe it was because we were playing the faders and, played out that we ended up with the win, luckily for us.
Yeah, another heart stopper. It's great to support a team like the Warriors. I'm going to die very young. Yeah, it's all their fault. But, yeah, to be honest, we were talking throughout the match. Both teams were just throwing the ball away left and right. And Raiders took advantage in that first half. I went into halftime reasonably confident due to the recent history of the Raiders and their ability or inability, I should say, not to play in the second half. And that's what happened here. Dejan Arce, we did talk about him last week saying we don't even know who this kid is. But, yeah, we've got one. He got thrown straight into the into the fire, having to play in the halves. And I thought he was solid. I thought he had a great debut. The only thing I would, the only blemish I'd give him was his 40-20 attempt. But one bad thing out of the whole performance isn't bad. And I know it's only one match, so we can't go and give him the key to the city or anything. But I think he looks like a kid that should be in the 17 long term. Jack White and Sackle, we talked about on Reece Walsh. I think it should have been a yellow card as well, but it wasn't. Warriors' defense was patchy, but they held firm on the goal line, which I think was integral in that second half comeback. As much as the Raiders were throwing the ball away as much as they could, the few chances they had, the Warriors were able to mop it up. Going to the Raiders, though, the confidence must be at an all-time low right now. It looks like Ricky Stewart's made some wise changes this week, at least.
Yeah, I
think if CNK was playing fullback in the week just gone, the Warriors don't win that game. I think Jordan Rapana was just, he just didn't have a great night as fullback. But yeah, I know I saw Simon mention it a bit earlier, but milking's been the talk of the town. After a lot of people have voiced their displeasure at Matt Lodge for staying down from a head high, earning the Warriors the penalty that essentially forced the game into golden point.
I'm sorry, guys. How could you not give me heads up about milking? The overlays and pictures of, around milking that I could have got, I just
sorry.
A missed opportunity.
Sorry. I'm going to go with it first because I'll let you do the rebuttal. But I don't agree with staying down. Like, it was technically high. You know, I say there's no such thing as a head high tackle. By the letter of the law, it was. Unfortunately, the Warriors weren't going to get that penalty. I've seen some guys that do podcasts in Australia say it was going to be a penalty anyway. They're not Warriors fans. They don't understand that that's not how it works. So I don't like seeing players milk, but I would rather see the Warriors win. So I'm very hypocritical. But I'm going to level it up because I believe that Tom Starling milked when Sean Johnson scored his try.
Yeah.
So I think they're even there. I think both were penalties anyway. So Sean shouldn't have got that try because of the letter of the law, but Lodge should have got the penalty for the head high. And it's more a reflection on the referees, the fact that both players had to milk to get it. So I don't like to see it, but don't hate the player, hate the game, really. It's how it is. It's how the game is now. What's your take on it?
Not a fan of the milking. I think you and I both are in that same.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And camp, very football-like. Saying that, right in front of the post, a minute left. There's no way they're going to blow that penalty. The only way that was going to be a penalty is if the bunker called it. So when you get those that kind of situation, it's no wonder players lie down. Ironically, last year we were talking about the Raiders milking penalties against us, and all sorts of jokes were being made about their sponsor, Canberra Milk. Swings and roundabouts. I don't like it, but I'm not upset with it because it got us the win.
There's just got to be a lot of soul searching at the Raiders. I feel for them. They're not a team I dislike or anything. There's really only one team that I dislike, as we know. But I just don't like, obviously I don't want to see them get the win over the Warriors because I want the Warriors to win. But I just don't like seeing, they got some good players there and I don't know what's happening. It was happening last year as well. So there's something going on where they seem to mentally switch off at halftime. And then in the first half, they still weren't playing that great either with all the errors. It was, yeah, as I said earlier, it was essentially both teams doing their best to lose, but the Warriors got them at the end. And yeah, Sean Johnson, I know there's a lot of criticism thrown his way right now. I still think he's lacking in some confidence and coming back from an injury, but it's two Golden Point games and he's got two wins for the Warriors, which are two wins they most likely wouldn't have got last year when he wasn't there.
Yeah, look, I think you put Cody Nikorima in Sean Johnson's jersey in that situation, would he have taken that opportunity? I think last year goes to prove that he wouldn't. And that's why we brought Sean over. And yeah, Sean wasn't flash other than that moment at the end. He tried to throw cutout balls to the touch judges. But the whole team was like that. I mean, the two times we scored tries in the first half, we gave them straight back by dropping the ball in front of our line off the next set after points. So I think the whole team just needs to get their basics right. We could have made that game a lot easier to win. I think a lot of that was on us.
Definitely.
Anything else, Brad? Should we move on?
No, let's move on. I don't want to hurt Simon any more than we have to.
Yeah, good call. So the next game was the Bulldogs getting a big upset win, 16-12 over the Roosters. My tip for premiers at the start of the year, losing to last year's Wooden Spooners. There you go. Three tries apiece. The Fox, Josh Adokar grabbing a double, and Jaden Ockenborg grabbing one after a lovely rainbow pass from Matt Dufty. And three tries for the Roosters, Joseph Suali, James Tedesco, and Sitili Tupanua. Only difference being 0 from 3 off the tee from the Roosters. I think Adam Kieran having a bit of a tough night with the boot. I did quite enjoy the bit of karma or justice at the end where Joey Manu and Joseph Suali looked to be rubbing it in a bit when they looked to have scored a game winner, only for the bunker to rub it out. I found that quite comical. What do you make of this one, Brad?
This is my upset of the round. I know the next game was probably a big surprise for everyone as well. But this one here, I wouldn't have thought in a million years the Bulldogs would get over the Roosters. They took all their chances and got the job done. Roosters were very disappointing. Matt Burton and Josh Adokar are starting to find their feet with the Bulldogs. Adokar looks to be enjoying footy again, especially getting that double. And I'm sure it's not the last time we're going to see a double from him this season. It wasn't pretty for the Bulldogs, but they showed fight and put on a decent team performance, I think, is probably the best way. They worked as a unit. And while I don't see them going on a run by any means, this should have them avoiding the spoon for sure. Roosters, I just don't know what's happening with this club. I think they were lucky to get some of those tries. There were a few forward passes that were missed. If they knew how to kick goals, they probably would have won this game just on the conversions they missed. They looked like they had that match winner, as you said, towards the end. Got very cocky, which is something I don't like seeing, and it's something the Roosters love to do. Sometimes they get a bit arrogant. The bunker took it away, rightly so, because it wasn't a try. Another team, like the Raiders, another team that needs to do some soul-searching this year with the Roosters. They're miles away from the impressive team we saw last year that was severely under strength. They kind of got all their stars back and they're falling apart. So, disappointing, but good to see the Bulldogs get a win.
Who do you put that win down to for the Bulldogs, Brad? Was it Phil Gould or Trent Barrett?
I put it down to the players.
Yeah.
Those coaches do nothing, Matt. Come on. I think it was the players. I think they knew pressure was on them and on their coach, and I think they responded, which is what you want your team to do if you're a coach.
Yeah, 100%. I did enjoy that one, though. It was good for the Bulldogs. Nice to see them get a win over a big club like that.
Yeah.
the next game on Saturday night was the Cowboys with a big win, 35-4 over the Eels. Didn't see this one coming, Brad. I mean, I thought it'd be a cracker game, but I didn't see a one-sided affair like this, especially in Cowboys' favour. But maybe we are looking at a real deal team this year. 6-1. That's how lopsided it was. Kyle Felt with a hat trick. Tom Dearden, the hammer, with a try, even though I think his one was off a forward pass. And Scott Drinkwater, who had a pretty outstanding game, I thought he grabbed one at the end. Only one try for the Eels. Hayes Perham. Break this one down for me, Brad. This was pretty one-sided. 15-0 at halftime to the Cowboys, and the Eels not scoring until the 63rd minute. So, this was pretty one-sided.
Yeah, I think if you went, if you told a Parramatta Eels fan before the season started that at this point of the year they'd have three losses and two of them would be against the Tigers and the Cowboys, they would have laughed at you. Yeah. It's not a good look for them, but I might have to back check on my bullish opinion on the Cowboys last week. They're looking good. Forwards are doing the work up front, halves directing well, and the backs finishing. Like I said, Scott Drinkwater continues to shine every week. Kyle Felt had a good night out. The Cowboys' defense was great as well. The Eels didn't really fire too many shots. But, the fact that the Cowboys only let the Eels, who are known for scoring tries, even in defeat, let them only score one try, it's a good indication that their structure's working. Mm. Chad Townsend celebrating his 200th game in style.
Yep.
Reuben Cotter, he played 80 minutes. He's been really good for them this year. He's been one of their better players. And he was a guy that not many people thought would even get a look in as an interchange, let alone as a starter. For the Eels, Ryan Madison, I thought, played all right. He got like 200 meters or something. Mm. Which amazing effort for him. I know there's been a lot of angry Eels fans out there calling out Brad Arthur for picking his son in the halves and moving Dylan Brown out to the centres. I get it. I feel for him because they had a lot of injuries and they were doing what they could with what they had. They've gone back this week. His son's not even in the squad and they've got their Opacek back, who was the player that was out. So I think if they didn't have those injuries, I don't think it would have happened, but it was the same thing last week and they won. So the fans weren't complaining. So yeah, I don't know. Cowboys look legit. And I think it's a big wake up call for the Eels because they have to face the Panthers this week.
Yeah. And you touched on it, Brad, the Eels have had, quite a lot of injuries as well. And to rejig your spine like that and move Dylan Brown out to center, he is a very capable centre and, you know, you can't really blame Brad Arthur with the cards he played with the hand he had, you know. More than anything, I was just really impressed with the Cowboys. I think they might be – I wouldn't be surprised after what I've seen lately that if they're knocking on the door of the top eight come end of year. The Sunday game, the Storm putting another 50 points – on the Knights, who for the second week straight have gone without scoring a try. So that one was 50-2. The Storm, carrying on with their high scoring ways. 9 tries to zip. So, for the Storm, I'm dreading reading this. Olam, Coates, Hughes, Olam again, Coates, Moiroa, Meany and Munster. There you go. Quick run through there. 9 tries to zip.
Last names.
6 from 9 off the tee for Pappenhausen. And only 1 penalty goal for Jake Clifford. This is why I tipped them for the spoon, Brad. After 2 weeks, we were sitting back going, wow, where's this come from? Clifford looks great. Clifford doesn't look so great anymore. I think he put the first kickoff out on the full. He kicked another one out on the full. This was all within the first sort of 5 minutes. And after 10 minutes, I don't even think the Knights had touched the ball. So the writing was very much on the wall.
I've got a stat on that. So
you do? Cool. Yeah, so the writing was very much on the wall from the outset. And, yeah, much like last week against the Warriors, you don't need to give the Storm the opportunity because they'll take it and more.
Yeah. I think it's still disappointing that they scored less points in this whole game than they did in the second half against the Warriors. But yeah. The stat I had, the Knights made 52 tackles before they touched the ball. And that's that crazy. The first time they touched the ball in this game was the 12th minute. And yeah, I don't even know. It just rinse and repeat what we said last week about the Storm, really.
Mm.
They're just on fire. They look scarier right now than the Panthers, I will say. You can say the quality of opposition the last 2 weeks hasn't been that great. Who we got? They got the Dragons this week. So I'm really hoping we see a record here because that would just make my weekend. This loss was the third biggest defeat at home for the Knights. Jake Clifford had a night to forget. He got hooked in the second half. They took him off. But yeah, I think it was all Storm. The usual suspects, Cameron Munster, Jerome Hughes, Xavier Coates is really finding his feet there. Nick Meaney looks great. It's funny to think that he was unwanted by the Bulldogs and he's definitely blossoming since he left. But yeah, I don't really know what else you can say. Knights just looked horrible, lost. Storm just looked really, really dangerous.
Yeah, obviously, the same as last week, Knights looked terrible everywhere, attack, defense. And I don't get me wrong, I really dislike the Storm. But man, they play an attractive brand of league. They've got everything. Tempo, second phase. They can grind you out if they want to, but they haven't needed to the past couple of weeks. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Paul. We will move on.
Final game.
Brad's favorite team, the Dragons, getting the win 12-6 over the Tigers. 2-1 for the Dragons, Ben Hunt and Jaden Sullivan, and 1 to Luke Brooks for the Tigers. Bit of an arm wrestle, this one, Brad. Not the most attractive game, but that's a Sunday evening game for you, isn't it?
Yeah, ugly game. I thought it was going to be another one of those games that the Tigers almost had like a month ago where there'd be no try scored with that 2-0 scoreline and taking almost an hour before the first try was scored. Ben Hunt, I thought, had another strong outing for the Dragons. He said after the match that Anthony Griffin ripped them to shreds at halftime, and it appeared to do the job to get them back. I wouldn't say it was a strong second half. It was good enough to get the job done. The Dragons' attack does just look out of sorts. For large stretches, they managed to like put some stuff together to get some points across the board. They're on a 3-game winning streak. That's going to obviously stop this week when they face the Storm. But yeah, I think the Tigers looked the better outfit for most of the match. And they were piling on pressure, but they were letting themselves down with errors. So they were getting some good momentum and then they drop the ball or they make a silly pass. After the Dragons scored those 2 tries in quick succession, I give full credit to the Tigers for keeping that fight. I praised them so much last year for the fight. They're showing it again, which is great to see. They didn't quit. They got that try through Luke Brooks to make it still a contest, but it was just a little too late.
Yeah, and that ends the Tigers' little mini win streak there.
Yeah,
which is a shame, but that was the round.
Cool, thanks for that, Richie. So before we move into questions, we'll bring up the tipping comp and the ladder. So we've got the tipping comp here. Richie and I, since Richard copied me, we both got 5 out of 8 last week. Simon, with all the guts he had, he made some bold calls. Unfortunately, it didn't work for him. It was very close. But he got 3 out of 8. So the record still stands, me leading 42 out of 64, Richie 1 behind at 41 to 64, and Simon 38 from 64. So a little bit behind us now, but I'm sure you're going to make that up this week. So you got the ladder there too, Paul, before we get into the questions. There we go. So still not really too much changed. Panthers first, Storm second, Cowboys sitting at third. Never thought I'd say that. And Sharks rounding out the top four in fourth spot. Eels, despite that embarrassing loss, are still at fifth. Rabbitohs are sixth. Roosters, despite being horrible at the moment, are seventh. And Manly have got to the eighth. They've still got seven more spots to go for my prediction, but they're getting there. The Broncos are ninth. Dragons, unfortunately, are 10th. Warriors are 11th. Then there's a big buffer between points between 11th and 12th. There's 4 points between the Warriors and the Titans at 12th. Tigers, 13th. Raiders, 14th. Bulldogs, 15th. And Knights, Richard's predicted Wooded Spoon, dead last. So I would say there's not too many surprises there other than the Cowboys for me.
Yeah, I think we should say a big you're welcome to the Cowboys for giving
for
them
writing
our,
them off.
Yep. Well, no, for giving them our coach and some of our players, Hiku and Townsend and guys like that. So you're welcome, Cowboys.
Yeah.
Our winning culture's rubbed off on you.
Yeah, so we may as well get straight into the answer, the questions. Paul, did you want to just give everyone a rundown of how the standoff got started since you're the eventer?
Yeah, I can try that. So when Radio Sport basically got shut down at the beginning of sort of COVID, I thought, right, within sort of half an hour of hearing that, I thought, well, how can I set up a radio station in 24 hours? Essentially New Zealand Sport Radio was born out of the driving mall, which was just rugby before that. And I tried to go multi-sport. So we had a daily morning news sports show for, well, over a year, basically. For some reason, I reached out to Brad on the 21st of April saying, hey, I'm in the process of creating an online sports radio station. Would you like to do a league show? And he said, yes. I had another guy who was a friend of Stephen Harris, who you probably know of the Driving Wall show for people who have been around. So we started off with Sanjay and Brad. Sanjay then had to drop off for various personal reasons. Brad said, oh, I've got a mate who could come on, and dragged Richie along, basically, is how it came about. Why I reached out to Brad, I really can't remember now as to how I found you.
I'm famous everywhere. It's it's a blessing and a curse. But
But basically, I was trying to set up. I set up a basketball. We had a basketball show. We had a football show, a cricket show, and a sports quiz. In fact, you boys came on the sports quiz from memory. But those have all sort of fallen by the wayside. And with SENZ having stood up, clearly, I was not going to be running a. The New Zealand's sports talk radio station. So I scaled it back to the ones that we enjoy doing, basically, which is the driving mall. And you guys do this because you enjoy doing it. And so it's all because we enjoy doing it. And that's kind of how it came about. And that's why it's still running.
Yeah. I think it was a Facebook, Facebook bloggers group or something, a New Zealand bloggers group.
That's right.
I think you put a question out there. Is there anyone that does sport here? And then someone tagged me and said he seems to bug us every week with league stuff. So I think that's how it got started there. But yeah, it's been enjoyable. Long may it continue until Richie gives up and I have to find another partner. Because I know you guys probably didn't enjoy when I was doing it solo for all that time. It's not as exciting when there's one person staring at a camera.
Yeah, and me trying to fake that I would actually know something about Lee.
Yeah,
as well. So yeah, that's sort of how it came about. So if anyone's here thinks, hey, they'd like to do a sports show and just want a platform to put it on, then I'm happy to have a chat. Clearly, there is no money in this, folks. Let's be very, very clear about this, that you do this because you love it and you enjoy talking about sport. You don't do this because you're going to make any cash out of it at all. In fact, it costs us money because we have to buy kit run the streaming service and all of that kind of stuff at the end of the day. So if you'd like to support us to help cover those costs, head over to patreon.com/NZSportRadio.
See, I don't have a Patreon, guys, but if you want, just give me money. It's cool. I'll never say no. But yeah, we're going a bit long, Rich. So do you want to skip our questions and just do Paul's question?
If you like.
Well, before we get to my question, we've got one from the...
Oh, yeah, true. I forgot that the other people asked questions too. Sorry.
For the other people who are actually watching the show, who we do this for.
Yes.
So Anthony wants to know, what's your guys' thoughts on the future Warriors halves playing each other this weekend? Will be live streamed or on Sky. What do you think about that?
Volkman versus Metcalf, I believe.
It is, yeah. I forgot to mention that when we were talking about it. Yeah, so our two future halves potentially playing each other I'm not sure if it's going to be on TV. I don't think it will be because they haven't really played a lot of them. They play a couple of them on Sky. I haven't been able to check, so I can't honestly say. But I think it'll be a great matchup to watch. It'll be good. Good to see how they go. And I think Sky Sport, if they've got the ability, it'd be wise for them to put it on if they can, just due to that interest from New Zealanders wanting to see their two signings go at it. So
for the absolute dumbass people like me who aren't fully up on this, which game is this?
It is the Bears versus the other team, the Jets.
The Jets, yeah.
They're playing like it's like reserve grade, so like the next one down. Simon's asking questions I can't answer. I'm not sure. I'm just trying to look at it. So, Richard, you talk while I'm looking it up.
It is the reserve grade New South Wales Cup, isn't it? So, I'm not even sure what day it's on. I was meaning to look it up. I saw on Facebook that it was their two teams facing off. So,
Sunday, 5 o'clock.
There you go.
So it won't. It probably won't be it because the Warriors are playing Warriors at 6. Game.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's a good Jets team looking at it. You got Connor Tracy, Ikavalu, out there too. It probably won't be on TV here. I don't know. I don't know how we'll watch it. I'm sure there'll be a replay we can watch on Sky.
Anthony, if you're going to be watching this, then why don't you give us a little report? You can do take a little quick video on your phone, sort of like a 60-second to a 1 minute to 2 minute report on the game, and we can play it during the show.
I'll see if I can watch it at some point so I can give some insight if no one else has it. So we'll skip our questions. I don't even know. We could probably do them next week, judging by the draw. I think your question might still be relevant, and mine was always going to be relevant because I make good questions. So, Paul, do you want to give us your one?
It's a question we actually got asked on the Driving Mall show on Monday night, which is our rugby union show. We've got one viewer who seems to like asking league questions during the union show. And he tried to ask us who was the best union player who crossed over to league and played for the Warriors, and at which point the only player I could think of was Laumapi, which I thought was a bit perhaps a bit unfair considering he went from school to the Warriors and didn't play professional rugby first, but was a rugby union player before playing league. As Stephen Harris brought out players like JK and a couple of others, but clearly they were past their best when they moved over. So, boys, who is the best ex-rugby union player to have played for the Warriors? And how when he was sort of best for the Warriors, not best as a kind of name.
I think there's really only one answer. Simon's answered it already, and Richard answered it first when we were chatting. So I'll let Richard take the floor here.
There are a few. You said Laumapi was one who went from schoolboys. Same thing with Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. Played schoolboys. There were JK, Mark Ellis, Mark Carter.
Mark Robinson played a game. He played one game for the Warriors before he went to the UK.
Not many of them set the world on fire, but Matthew Ridge obviously was one who played high level union over here in New Zealand before switching to league and had a a glittering career with the Manly Sea Eagles before coming over to the Warriors and playing a couple seasons. So I think it's got to be Richie.
Yeah, and then I had a cheat answer, which was RTS, because technically he was a union player, but he wasn't professional before he went to league. And he, this will probably be valid when he comes back to the Warriors at the end of the World Cup and say he was a union player that played for the All Blacks and now he's playing for the Warriors and is really great again. So, yeah.
Matthew Ridge, 37 games, 8 tries, 103 goals, 238 points for the Warriors.
Yep.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, so we'll leave our questions. We may as well keep them for next week, Richie. Were there any other questions? I'm going to touch on what Simon just said. John and Mark Ellis, a bunch of bums. Mark Ellis was not a great league player, but what I will give him credit for was bringing eyes to the Warriors. The whole thing with him and Richie and the partnership they developed, it really got a lot of people that weren't watching the Warriors into watching the Warriors. Unfortunately, it just didn't present itself in great performances. It wasn't really suited for him, I'll say. Mm. But, yeah, it's more the eyeballs, which I think was more integral. And it was always good seeing Kerwin in a Warriors jersey because I know he hated union when he first started. He comes from a league family, and he hated being a union player, but it's what made him famous. I am Frano Bodica. Frano Bodica, I think, was a better league player for Wigan than he was for the New Zealand Warriors. I had him in there as a thought, but the question was solely based on being a Warrior. Frano Bodica was a great player in both codes.
Yeah, didn't actually play. Didn't play for the Warriors at all.
Frano Bodica, yeah, he did. They're probably called Auckland Warriors.
Auckland, 5 games. Okay.
Yeah. So he didn't play a lot, but he for Wigan, he was big. If you went into all of them, there's everything out. Inga the Winger was a great player for Wigan as well. Wrong Warriors team. Thanks for all the questions there, and hopefully we answered them the best we could. We may as well jump straight into round 9 and our picks. Simon gave his tips during the show, so I jotted them down. The only one I don't have is yours, Richie. So write them down as we go. Thursday night, we've got Rabbitohs Broncos. Simon and myself have both gone with the Rabbitohs. I think the Broncos showed some improvement, but I think the Rabbitohs, they're playing at home as well. I think they should get the job done here.
Yeah, I put Rabbitohs as well. I think it'd be a good game, though. I think it could be a tight one.
Yeah. First game on Friday, we got Raiders Bulldogs. Ooh, I was tossing and turning on this one, but I've gone with the Raiders. Simon's gone with the Raiders as well. I think I'm just giving it hometown advantage and hoping that they get enough points in the first half to survive the second.
I went the Dogs. I went the other way. I think with Whiten being in a bit of trouble, I feel like the Raiders are in a bit of a hole. So
I almost the Dogs. I almost switched it about 2 hours ago. So I'm happy that I didn't. So we've got some differences here. Yeah. Final game on Friday is Panthers Eels. I've put Panthers. I expect the Eels will do a bounce back from that embarrassing performance, but I don't think they're anywhere near good enough to beat the Panthers right now. So Simon's picked Panthers as well.
Yeah, the Eels get a couple of players back and Dylan Brown back to the halves. So I think this will be a cracker game, but I put Panthers as well.
I thought you were going to say you picked the Eels. I'm like, yes. No. First game on Saturday, we have Seagulls Tigers. I've gone with Seagulls, so has Simon. I think Seagulls have got some good players coming back. And I think even without that, I think they would have too much for the Tigers. But I'm hoping that it's a good outcome. I don't want to see the Tigers get the floor pulled out from under them. But Tommy Turbo's back, so they should get a win.
Mm. Yep, I put the Eagles.
Yeah. Okay. Next game, we have the Roosters-Titans. Roosters are all 6s and 7s right now, but I have backed them here. I think the Titans without David Fifita are going to struggle, and Simon's backed the Roosters as well.
I back the Roosters. They've had a tough few weeks, but surely they bounce back here.
And Callum said, who is Simon? Simon's our loyal listener that's been with me since day dot. And I think he's been with you everywhere, hasn't he, Paul?
So Simon's a loyal listener. He listens on YouTube, Callum, while you listen on Facebook, which is why you don't see him in the live chat. Someone that I've met in Rotorua at games as well. So, yeah, an avid sports fan who, an encyclopedia of knowledge.
Yeah, does all our work for us. Next game up, the final game on Saturday night is Cowboys versus Knights. I have gone with Cowboys, so is Simon. I think the Cowboys are looking really good right now, and the Knights just don't. So easy for me there.
Yeah, same. Cowboys easily.
All right, so hold on. I'm just writing that down. Next game is Storm versus Dragons, and I think the Storm should stroll home with this one. It should be a new record. Simon has thought the same. So are you backing the Dragons or are you going with Storm?
The Dragons, if you remember back, actually put up quite a good fight against the Panthers earlier on in the season. So I don't know about blown away. Well, it's the Storm, so it could be blown away. I've gone Storm. I always go Storm.
And then the final game, most important game of the round, Sharks versus Warriors. Simon, he's twisting the knife on us. He has picked the Sharks. Unfortunately, I have joined him, and I've picked the Sharks as well. I am really worried about Talakai. I know we talked a lot about how you stop Talakai, but the Warriors' centers aren't the biggest around, and I can just see Talakai running over. I think it might be Valia marking him as of right now, and I could just see him running over Valia left, right, and center. I'm hoping that's not the case. It's always the game that I want to get wrong if I'm picking against the Warriors, but I'm going with Sharks.
It's not so much the size of the Warriors' centers that worries me in the matchup against Talakai. It's more the fact that our centers aren't the best defensively. yeah, I've gone Sharks as well. I feel dirty saying it. I went Sharks.
All right, so that's our picks. Looking at it, Simon and myself have gone exactly the same. And the only game different between the rest of us is the Bulldogs Raiders.
Let's go, Doggies.
So potentially we could have you and I on level at the end of the round if the Bulldogs get the job done. And if the Raiders get the job done, Simon will get closer to catching up to you again. So will be interesting to see. And hopefully it's a cracker round, because it's always good to talk about a more exciting round when it comes to our show next week. We are running long, but I'm going to do a quick one on Super League because I'm the boss here, Paul. St. Helens and Wigan are still on equal points at the top of the ladder. St. Helens take the top spot with an impressive positive 166 points differential. In saying that, Wigan also have 80 points differential. So really well. They both won their games. St. Helens beat Salford 14-10. Wigan wiped the floor with Warrington 40-22. Other big games, there are a few big games in there. Catalans defeated Castleford 44-12. Hull FC defeated Toulouse 48-12. And then I suppose the other games I should talk about. Huddersfield defeated Wakefield 14-12, and Leeds defeated Hull KR 12-0. So a few one-sided affairs in there and a few tight contests. They take a week off next week because it's the Challenge Cup time. So we'll definitely have to talk about this next week because we'll be on to the final. But we've got Wigan versus St. Helens and Hull KR versus Huddersfield. And then they'll go on for the final at the end of this month. So we will touch on the Challenge Cup semis next week for sure. I'll make sure of it. We'll just make sure that I don't talk for too long and all the other segments. Is there anything else you want to add, Richie or Paul, in the background?
Give us your quick prediction for those Challenge Cup semis.
I think Huddersfield will beat Hull KR, and I'm going to go with Wigan over St. Helens, but everything's saying St. Helens will probably get the job done there. It feels like it's a crime they have to face each other in the semi. It seems to have final written all over it. But, yeah, I'm going with Wigan because I'm a Wigan fan and I'm biased, and I can't go against the Warriors versus Sharks and then go against Wigan. So I've got to pick one here. But yeah, we'll see how much St. Helens beats them by when we talk about it next week. Okay, so that's it. That's all you had?
Yeah. That's all I had, mate.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in and joining us tonight on The Standoff with Brad and Richie. For your weekly update on rugby league, remember to tune into our show next week at 8 p.m. New Zealand time here on Facebook or at your convenience on iHeartRadio. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. Cheers for helping in the background, Paul, and for asking some questions. Cheers for joining me again tonight, Richie, and good night, everyone.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.